Turn in your Bibles to the book of Colossians to chapter 1 and verse 10. Having just spoken to verse 9 about us being filled with the knowledge of God's will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, he says in verse 10 that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. To walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Well, that was Paul's prayer for these brethren of his in Colossae at this time. And this is what he was praying for all of his brethren. We can see in other books very similar words that are recorded concerning the Apostle Paul's prayers for his brethren in wherever they were. He had not actually even met these brethren in Colossae up to this time, but he knew of them and he was praying this for them. And this is a goal that is for all of us, that we would walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. So we want to study about walking worthy of the Lord and what that means. We have other passages of Scripture that also teach us to do this. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, in verse 12, 1 Thessalonians 2:12, he says that you would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So to walk worthy of the Lord, walk worthy of God. That word worthy, it literally means to walk appropriately. Well, there is a right way to walk in this life that God teaches us. And the appropriate way for us to walk in our lives is what he's referring to, or as it's translated, to walk worthy. So we need to be walking appropriately of the Lord, of God, to please him. So we do not, we're not the ones that get to determine or define for ourselves what walking worthy means, or what is appropriate for us in terms of how we're going to live our lives on this earth. And that's the wrong idea that the world has, that they get to decide how they get to live. Jeremiah chapter 10 verse 23 says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. Do we get to decide what is appropriate, what is worthy for us as far as how we live our lives and the manner in which we're going to live? Did God make us, put us here, and then we all get to decide for ourselves how we want to live this life, and it's ours, and we're free to do with as we please, whatever we desire? No. We have to walk worthy of the Lord. We have to walk appropriately as he has directed us to. He's the one that will tell us how to walk. He's the one that will direct our steps, and we need to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing of him, according to what he teaches us to do. Well, that means as a Christian, to become a Christian, we're going to, by definition, have to change the way that we walk. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, when he's describing, he doesn't use the word repentance in this passage, but he describes it. When we read Romans 6, 3 through 6, he says, Know you not that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, so shall we be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. He's describing what the new mind is, and that's what the word repent means. And that is where we now have taken our old man, our old way of walking, how we lived before, that body of sin is to be destroyed. Our old man is crucified with Christ. So we read here about the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Christ, and in the manner in which we actually participate in that. as our old man is crucified with him. It's dead. Then we are buried with him in baptism. Then we are raised to walk in newness of life. So walking in newness of life. Well, before we were a Christian, before our old man was crucified, what did that old man do? How did he walk, or how did she walk? That was in a different way, in a way that was not worthy or appropriate concerning how God, our Maker, has defined that. Now we have to walk in newness of life. We have to be a new creature, unlike what we were before. In the book of Galatians, in chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, 14 and 15, he says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature." What matters, or what is going to avail in Christ? That we be a new creature. Well, what does that mean then concerning our old way of being and living and walking? Well, that has to be, as we read in Romans 6, that has to be put to death. We have to be crucified with him, which is exactly the same term that he uses in the same book in Galatians 2, verse 20. But in verse 14, that crucifixion he's describing here as our being crucified to the world and the world unto us. Well, before we're in Christ, we are of the world. We're in it and of it. But now we have to make the decision, we are going to be a new creature. The world is going to be crucified to us to the world. We're in the world, but we're no longer going to be of it. We're no longer going to walk after the manner of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Can we be in Christ Jesus and not be a new creature? Can we be the old creature and still be in Christ? That's not possible. We have to have that change in how we walk. So in the book of Ephesians, in chapter 2, verses 1 through 3, he also speaks of this change that takes place in how we're walking when we become a child of God and a follower of Christ. In Ephesians 2, 1 through 3, he says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." So we were dead. Those are the wages of sin. Romans 6, 23, the wages of sin is death. Well, we were dead in our sins and trespasses, but now he's given us life again. He says in verse 2, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation," that word means behavior, "in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So once we were part of this world, we were children of disobedience, and we were walking after the course of this world, he says. Well, that's how we walked before. That's not appropriately. So we were not walking worthy of the Lord then. We were walking in the wrong way. Well, now in Christ, we're to be a new creature, and we're to walk in newness of life. Now, no longer are we to walk after the course of this world, but rather we are to walk worthy, appropriately, of the Lord. Book of Colossians in chapter 3, Colossians 3, 1 through 3. He says, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." And look how many different places, passages, he teaches this same point in how we're to be a new creature, how we are dead as far as the old man and our old way of living, which is that walking. But now we are to have our affection on the things above, and we are to walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing of him. So we can't walk like we used to. We can't walk like this world does anymore. So we were reading in Ephesians 2 about how we formerly walked after the course of this world. In the same book, in Ephesians chapter 4, two chapters over from where we just were reading. And Ephesians 4:17 through 19, he says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all cleanness and greediness." So before, that's how we walk. But now, in Christ, we are a new creature. So can we walk like the other Gentiles, like the others of this world that we once were a part of? No, we can't do that anymore. We now have to walk after Christ. So that's what he says in the next chapter in Ephesians 5 and verse 8. "For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." So Ephesians chapter 4 just told us how not to walk anymore. And chapter 5 says how we are to walk and what this means to walk worthy of the Lord. To walk as children of light, not in darkness anymore like we formerly did. So we need to walk after Christ and follow in his footsteps. Follow the one that we now believe in and the one we're to be like. So we need to walk as Christ walked. John chapter 8, and we can see how Christ lived his life and the example that he is for us and how we are to walk. John chapter 8, verses 28 and 29. "Then said Jesus unto them, When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him." So we started off reading Colossians 1:10, how we're to walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. How did Jesus live? He didn't do anything of himself. He did always those things that pleased his Father. So when did Jesus take a break from that? At what point in his life did he reserve some time where he was going to just do what he wanted to do? There wasn't any. He lived his entire life to do his Father's will and set the example for us. Now, he mentions his crucifixion before it ever happens here, but says when he would be lifted up, he says, "Then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing of himself." That would be the ultimate demonstration or proof of that. Now, he was already living that way, that is, to only do what is pleasing to his Father and nothing of himself. But no one could have any question about it when he would take that as far as it could be taken, to where he was crucified on the cross. As Philippians 2 verse 8 says, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. So Jesus proved that through his entire life, that he would do nothing of himself, but he would only and always do what pleased his Father. So 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, 1 John 2:6 says, "He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also so to walk even as he walked." Well, if Jesus did nothing of himself, but always what pleased his Father, and we're to follow Christ, then how should we walk? Well, we need to walk even as he walked. So we need to also do nothing of ourselves, but only what pleases him. That's what walking worthy of the Lord appropriately unto all pleasing, what that means. The book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, he tells us that we need to walk by faith. So we walk by faith and not by sight. Well, this is part of our walking in the steps of Christ. He did everything according to his Father's commandments. That's what walking by faith and requires, that we follow after his word, which is where faith comes from. As we all know, Romans 10 verse 17 says, "Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So to walk in Christ and after his footsteps, we have to walk after his commandments. So we read 1 John 2 verse 6, 1 John 2 verse 5 says that whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. And then he tells us how then we need to walk even as he walked. So we have to walk according to his word, what he has taught us to do. Colossians 2 verse 6 says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. We have so many passages that tell us to follow in the steps of our Master, Jesus Christ, the one that we are serving. And as we do that, that's going to enable us to grow in him and to be able to walk after his commandments and after his steps, to do that better and better each day as we do grow in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 in verse 1, 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 1. Furthermore, then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. Now, the moment that we change our minds, that we repent and our old man is crucified with him, and then we repent and are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, when we are buried with him in baptism and raised to walk in newness of life, does that mean at that moment, that very moment in time, that everything we actually do, that every step we take from that moment forward is following the steps of Christ, and that nothing that we do or no step that we take is inappropriate or unworthy of him? Well, no, we understand that as there are things in our heart still that need to be purged out, that are not do not work the righteousness of God, that are not good, that's going to affect our footsteps. But what happens if we continue in his word, if we continue to study his word and to follow that? Well, what does he say there is going to happen as we have received this from God's word, how we ought to walk and to please him? What will happen? He says, so you would abound more and more. The more we hear of it, the more we learn of it, the more we practice it, are we going to do better at walking after the steps of Christ? Yes. And he says we can abound more and more. Well, is that just a little bit of improvement, or is that showing us what's going to happen and what is possible and what God intends for us to happen, being more than just a little bit of a change? To abound more and more, is that something small or is that something very great? That's something very great. And that's what happens in our life, in our lives, when we do walk in the steps of Christ and walk by faith and after his teachings. We have a lot of scriptures that tell us how we need to walk in the truth, which is no different in fact from teaching us, as 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, to walk by faith, which comes from hearing God's word. Walking in the truth is walking in God's word, because God's word is truth. John 17:17 says that. So we need to be walking in that truth. 2 John chapter, well, it's there's only one chapter there, but so if you want to say chapter 1, verse 4 of the book of 2 John is one that tells us, reminds us, teaches us to walk in truth. 2 John verse 4 says, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. Well, we have heard from his commandments how we ought to walk and please him. So now we need to abound in that more and more and walk in his truth. The next book, 3 John, verses 3 and 4, says, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. So we need to walk in his truth. We need to walk according to his commandments. That's what walking in truth requires. In the Old Testament, in Isaiah chapter 50, verse 10, You realize up to this moment, we have not actually read a verse out of the Old Testament. I don't know what my record is for how many lessons consecutively have had at least one Old Testament verse, but you probably know by now that I usually have at least some of that in there. Well, we find a lot of teachings in the Old Testament, of course, that they're the same principle. Now, we did read Jeremiah 10:23, didn't we? All right, so this is our second. Isaiah 50, verse 10. We see a lot of the principles that in these verses in the New Testament also taught in God's Word in the Old Testament. It didn't just happen in the New Testament that God desired His children to follow His Word and to walk by His truth and to let God be the one to direct our steps and that we should walk worthy of Him unto all pleasing. So Isaiah 50, verse 10 says, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God." I mean, that's a verse that's calling those who were walking in darkness to turn to the Lord and walk in the light. And how many verses do we have in the New Testament also that tell us that we need to walk in the light? The Gospel of John chapter 8, verse 12. John 8, 12. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Well, we need to turn from that darkness to light. Well, who is our light to follow? Again, that's Christ. And following Christ is walking in the light instead of walking in darkness. John chapter 11. There's a lot on this subject in the Gospel of John. But John chapter 11, verses 9 and 10. Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." Well, who is the light of this world for us to follow so that we don't stumble? And that is Christ, and he's the one that we must follow. Next chapter, John 12, 35 and 36. Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While you have light, believe in the light, that you may be the children of light." These things spake Jesus, and departed, and did hide himself from them. Well, as we also read a little while ago in Ephesians 5, verse 8, we were told to walk as children of light. Let's turn to 1 John, to chapter 1, and look at verses 5 through 7. And this is the basis of our fellowship with God and with one another. In fact, it was last Sunday morning, Brother Brett Johnson brought us a lesson that was a lot about fellowship, being in partnership, one with another, but also with the Lord. And it's the same basis that we have fellowship with God and with Christ and with one another, and that is by walking in the light. So 1 John chapter 5, chapter 1, 1 John 1, verses 5 through 7. "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Well, there is no darkness in God. He is light. That should not be a surprising statement to us, but that is the fact. There is no darkness at all in him. He is light. And if we say that we have fellowship with God and we're walking in darkness, how can there be fellowship between light and darkness? There's no partnership between the two. Those do not go together. So if God is light and there's no darkness in him, to be in fellowship with God, what do we have to walk in? We have to walk in the light. And if I have to walk in the light to be in fellowship with God, and you have to walk in the light to be in fellowship with God, for us to be in fellowship one with another, what do we have to walk in? That's what verse 7 tells us. So the same condition of fellowship between us and God exists also among us, that we all walk in the light. That is the principle of partnership, of fellowship in God's family, between us and him and with one another. We have to walk in the light. Now, first John chapter 4, verse 8, and then again in verse 16, two different verses there of in first John 4, that's again verse 8 and verse 16, makes a statement about God. He is light and in him is no darkness, but then how is his nature described, that light? God is love. And he states that about him there in both those verses in chapter 4. So for us to walk in the light and walk in the steps of Christ, what do we also necessarily have to walk in? Well, we would expect exactly what we read in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, as we tie those principles together as the Lord does here. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, he says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." When we study about walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, we've seen about walking by faith, walking in truth, and walking in light, walking in love. I mean, all of that is tied together, isn't it? Walking after God's word and following him, and he's love, and he is light. Well, that's why we have to walk in love, walk in light, and follow in the steps of Christ. That also means we have to love one another. We're almost out of time, so we just look at a couple of verses before we close on this. And back in the book of 1 John in chapter 2, 9 through 11. And if you didn't already know it, just from the last few minutes, the book of 1 John has a lot about walking in love and what that means. So 1 John chapter 2, verses 9 through 11 says, "He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. But he that hateth his brother is in darkness and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes." So to walk in the light, to follow Christ, we have to love one another. There's no way that we can do that, that we can walk in the light and that we can walk in the steps of Christ without loving one another. We're to love one another as he has loved us. That is the new commandment that we read about in John 13, 34 and 35. And so in 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, 1 John 4, 12, he says, "No man that's hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us." That's the only way that we're going to be able to have his love perfected in us, along with, as he said in chapter 2, verse 5, keeping his word. And we'll close with 1 John 3, 16 through 18. This loving of one another, it's not just with our words, it's in deed and in truth. 1 John 3, 16 through 18. "Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren." What does it mean to lay down our lives? Well, Romans 12, 1 speaks of our being a living sacrifice. Is he talking about giving up our physical lives as in we physically die? Well, that's not the point here. Verse 17 here in 1 John 3 says, "But whoso hath this world's good and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." So whatever the need is there, we need to be ready to sacrifice ourselves, deny ourselves, and serve one another. If we can't just say we love our brother, and then if there's a need there and we're not trying to help them as we're able to, then we're just using words, but it's not with the deed. So we need to love one another in deed and in truth. That's a key part of our walking in the light, walking in the steps of Christ, and walking worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. All the things that he teaches us that we need to do in our lives. And he does teach us everything that we need to know that will apply to every situation we're ever going to face in life. And we need to know those teachings of the Lord, his commandments, and follow them. And if we do that, then we can walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, as he instructs us to do, and as we need to be helping each other do and praying for each other to do, as the Apostle Paul was praying for his brethren so long ago, we can do the same today. This morning is an opportunity for you, if you've not yet become that new creature that we are reading about, this is an opportunity for you to become a new creature, to crucify your old man with Christ, to be buried with him in baptism, and then to be raised to walk with him in newness of life, walking worthy of him and to all pleasing, to abound in that more and more. If you need to put on Christ in baptism this morning, this is an opportunity for you to do that at this time. If you are a member of the Lord's body, if you need to return to him so that you can walk in the light again, if you've gone astray, this is an opportunity for you also. Anyone that needs to come now, please do come while we stand together and sing.